Now, congregation, the title for my sermon this morning is Shepherd of Straying Sheep. And the text for this sermon is taken from that very last verse of Psalm 119, where we read, I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your command. Now, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, if we take a cue from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the ultimate goal of a Christian's life is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But we could also say that the ultimate goal of a Christian's life is to not sin. See, they both point to the same conclusion. See, to sin is to fall short of glorifying God. When we sin, we invariably chase after other things which have little to do with glorifying God. And so if we could learn how not to sin, perhaps we would know how to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And conversely, if we could learn how to glorify God and enjoy him, we might also know how not to sin. Now forgive me if I now quote from portions of Psalm 119 which were not read earlier, but you can easily check them out for yourself later, if you so wish. Now back at the beginning of Psalm 119, in verse 11, the psalmist gives us a clue as to how we may avoid sin. Here he says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. And so according to him, the way to not sin is to hide the word of God in your heart. Yeah, that is to say, the way to not sin is to hold on to God's word and treasure it in your heart. Hence the way to the ultimate goal of a Christian's life, which is to live for the glory of God and to enjoy him forever, is to treasure the word of God in your heart. So, you're right now? You know how to do it? Well, of course, we know from our own experience we fail to reach the goal of our Christian lives. You see, we fall far short of the glory of God, as Paul laments in Romans 3, verse 23. So our experience is shared even by the saints of Scripture. Now, we don't know who this psalmist was, but surely, like David, he was a man after God's own heart. The entire psalm, you see, testifies to his love for God's word. He consistently praises God's law, such as in verse 174, your law is my delight. His life is one of constant prayer, according to verse 164, seven times a day I praise you. And where keeping the law is concerned, he can appeal to his track record in verse 100. I have not strayed from your precepts. And so without a doubt, the psalmist was a saintly man. Wouldn't you agree? But even the saints of Scripture sometimes go astray. The last verse, verse 176, which is our text for this morning, testifies to this. The psalmist confesses that in spite of all he has said in this long psalm, you know, that is about loving the law, etc., the word of God, it might just as well have been so much wishful thinking, because he too, just like us, has gone astray. just as Edward read earlier on from 1 John, where John says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. And so now we come to our text. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. And we shall look at this text in three parts. The first point of my sermon is this: I have strayed like a lost sheep. Now you think of the psalmist's confession in these words: I have strayed like a sheep, you know, away from my shepherd, away from my God. I've walked where I had no business going. I've grazed, as it were, in pastures where I should not have grazed. I've thought and said and done things I shouldn't have done. Somewhat familiar, isn't it? But you know, this is spiritual waywardness. The same spiritual waywardness that Isaiah speaks of when he says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, it's only a week ago that we commemorated that, didn't we? Yeah. Isaiah's word for gone astray is the same word used in our text. Now, neither Isaiah nor the psalmist are describing some unconverted person as a straying sheep, you know, turning away and doing his own thing. Nor are they referring to the human race in general terms, you know, a world without God or Christ, and therefore without hope. No, it's sobering to realise that this is a description of a child of God. For what child of God hasn't known the embarrassment of having to add his own signature to Isaiah's confession? That is, that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Jesus had to remind us in Matthew 26, the spirit may be willing, but the body is weak. Yes, only a little yielding, a little giving into the flesh. And who knows where the crooked path will lead us? Well, the psalmist admits this in this verse, that I have strayed like a lost sheep. He also admits it was so on another occasion. Yeah, back in verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. Yes, he's gone astray before, and God has chastened him for it. And he agrees in verse 71, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. You see, he's experiencing God's correcting discipline. And yet here at the end of his psalm, he has to confess again, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. See, it's obvious. Even biblical saints like this saintly psalmist struggle in the battle for holiness. And the battle, of course, won't be over for us either until life is ended. This life, that is. But then look at the second part of this text. The psalmist goes on to say, seek your servant. You know, we shouldn't minimize this thing about going astray. The psalmist thought of himself as like a lost sheep. In the first place, this underscores the foolishness of his sin. He strayed away from God like a silly sheep will stray from its shepherd. And just as sheep easily wander away, so the psalmist points to how easily he himself has wandered and disobeyed the good shepherd. You know, so many people in our society today are doing. You know, we could be witnessing a mass exodus from the church. How often do we hear people say, "I used to go to church"? But to the psalmist's Hebrew mind, lost also means perishing. Certainly in his environment, and likely so in Australia too, a lost sheep could well die if not found. And so when the psalmist speaks of himself as a lost sheep, we know that he thought that going astray to be a serious business. Paul thought so too when he asked, "What benefit did you reap from the things you are now ashamed of? Because those things result in death." But now notice the psalmist's petition. "Seek your servant." He's conscious of his relationship with God. "I'm your servant. You are my God, my master." So he's obliged to obey God because of this relationship that he has. Hence, he's not content to just stray and stay away. Yet he's also conscious of his own helplessness. He admits he needs help from God. "Seek me," he says. It is as if he is wisely saying, "Once I knew the path, but now I've wandered from it and I can't find my way back to God any more than a lost sheep can find its way back to the safety of its fold. Only the shepherd I have strayed away from can guide me back. You, Lord, must seek me." Now this is no cry of despair. It's a cry of faith. The psalmist doesn't want to wander. He doesn't want to be apart from his shepherd for a minute longer, and so he cries to God, who has the power to rescue him. He cries to God, whom he knows will deal mercifully with him. And so it must be for us too. But do you do this? If you should find yourself straying away, and of course you have to remember that this straying may not actually even be an action, a physical action, it might be happening here in your mind, but it's still straying. If you should find yourself straying away, do you cry out to be found by God? When you feel your thoughts or your affections or your will straying from God, do you cry out, "I'm a lost sheep, Lord. Seek your servant. Bring me back"? And are we given any assurance that God will seek us? Yes, indeed we are. From Ezekiel 34, this is what the Lord, the sovereign Lord, says, "I myself will seek for my sheep and look after them." And this is borne out now in the last part of the text. "For I have not forgotten your command." You know, when the psalmist says, "I have not forgotten," he obviously means he's consciously remembered. He's called to mind what God's word says to him. He's not trying to downplay his sin, you know, as though it can't be all that bad. Because while he's been wandering, He still remembered the Lord's commandments and kept them at least, you know, part of the time. But nor is he saying that because he hasn't completely forgotten the commandments, then somehow he deserves God's attention. No, he's not doing that. He's simply stressing the fact that he is still in a covenant relationship with God. Do you realize that you are in a covenant relationship with God? Do you know that you have an obligation to obey the covenant requirements that God places on you and on me? Well, this fellow, this psalmist, is a sinner. Yes, indeed, he is. But he's not a covenant breaker. He has not spurned the living God. You know, God's law is still in his heart. Yes, he still delights in it, so he wasn't telling a lie in that very long psalm earlier on. Now, he still delights in it. It's as if he's saying, Lord, in all my straying, with all my guilt, I still love your law. And with all my being, I long for you to bring me back into that law. You know, without God's word to guide us, we become slaves of our generation, easily swayed by the norms and opinions, you know, being propagated by our changing society. And so it's impossible for any one of us, if we really are children of God, to be happy when we are separated from our Father. You know, we can't erase the spiritual taste for God from our hearts and minds. We can never totally rub out his law written on our hearts. See, God writes in his word. God himself is his word. You know, never was there a truer statement than this. A man never seeks after the Lord unless the Lord first seeks him. And so God's word remains with us, always beckoning, always enticing us. For example, God beckons us in his command to believe his promise, as we find it in Proverbs 3. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You see, so we too should call on God to seek us if we find ourselves straying from him. Now, we have celebrated the Lord's Supper earlier. And so let us go from here, looking to Jesus the shepherd and overseer of our souls. You know, the good shepherd, who lays down his life for the sheep. As the parable of the lost sheep reminds us, he leaves the 99 to find the one, while all of us, like sheep, have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, this is our deplorable state. And so we too are sometimes like straying sheep. Now, if we share in this, we share with the Old Testament psalmist who confesses of himself, I have strayed like a lost sheep. But we share it in this also with the New Testament Saint Paul, who says of himself, not that I have already been made perfect. Of course, Paul hadn't been. And so when we confess our tendency to stray, as the psalmist does, we are compelled to go straight to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave it to us straight when he said, when you have done everything you were told to do, you are still unprofitable servants. See, we cannot profit God. We cannot add anything to God's divinity by our good service, yeah, by our prayerfulness, by our faithfulness, yeah, even though those things are all incredibly important for us to follow. We can still, you see, only come into God's presence in Jesus, who has done everything to present us spotless before God, which we celebrated already this morning in the supper. And to that we say, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Amen.